Love Osho podcast brings you the real stories of the people whose lives have been inspired and transformed by Osho. We explore why thousands of people are falling in love with Osho and where to find them. Take a deep breath and enjoy the show.
Hello and welcome to the Love Osho podcast. My name is Swaram and I'm the host. Today our guest is Ma Vimal Angie. Angie is a psychotherapist, author, teacher and public speaker. Angie has been part of the Osho management team at Osho Risk since 1986 and leads therapy groups as well as individual sessions both at Osho Risk and in her own private practice. After her husband passed away due to a brain tumor, Angie wrote a book called To Live and to Die and gives talks and lectures at the Cancer Association in Denmark. Hello, Angie. Welcome to the Love Osho podcast. How are you?
I'm fine. Thank you.
Wonderful. So I'm so happy to have the opportunity to speak with you. You are one of the historical coordinators at Osho Risk, a wonderful Osho meditation center and commune in Denmark. So you have been involved with Osho-related matters for a long, long time. And you're also a psychotherapist and author of a book, To Live and to Die, which tells the story from when your ex-husband was diagnosed with a brain tumor until his death. So I'm really looking forward to chatting with you. As usual, to start, I'd love to hear the story of how you came to know about Osho.
Yeah, that's. I think that's always interesting to talk about and to hear about also. I think maybe it's not an unusual thing that it goes through a partner. So I was living with that man who was a non-sanyasin when we met and we lived together in Copenhagen. And then he, at a certain point, he was joining some groups. He didn't talk much about it and I didn't want to hear much about it. So he joined some groups and then at a certain point, he took sanyas. Satmarga, who is still one of my very best friends and live at Osho Risk now. And I got shocked. I was a left-wing, political interested woman, and I didn't see at all myself and my life fitting in having a guru or being together with a boyfriend who had a guru. But I could see after some time that he actually, that the groups he was doing and the work he was doing was changing him. I could see that a lot of things we had between us for a lot of long time was suddenly different, and I got interested. And then I thought, okay, I join a group and then I just see what is this. And from the moment I joined the group, I just fell in love. I mean, first I fell in love with the people. And I didn't know that it was Osho's presence I could feel through the people, but I just felt this is where I belong. This is what I've been looking for my whole life, a place where I can be myself and where things I would like to express is not straying. So in the beginning, this man, he was more like something that was following the packet, so to say. I was interested in the people. And I came to a point where I felt I want to go. I think I just heard myself saying in one of those groups, I also want to take sanyas. And then what happened at that time was that you could not just do it in Denmark. So I was writing an application that was in 1985, and then I got a message back. Thanks for your interest in taking sanyas. You are welcome to come to Oregon to our next celebration. And I got totally pissed. That was fitting with my picture of a money machine. And I was packing the letter together and throwing it in the garbage bin. And then half an hour later, I was taking it up again, looking at it. And I went straight to the bank and got a big loan. And then I went to Oregon. And there I took sanyas. And I don't know if you want to hear about how that happened at that time also, because that was also very different from how it is now. Because in a way, because I've been waiting so long, I thought that everybody would be happy about my decision about taking sanyas. But then I realized that I had to sit in a big queue with a lot of other people who were applying for sanyas and people came out from a room crying and telling we were not allowed to take sannyas. And and I heard, yeah, there was somebody saying, yeah, I came from Brazil last year and now it's my second time here and I hope I'll get sannyas this year. And I never thought about that idea that I could be refused to take sannyas. And I decided myself, I'll never leave this place without taking sannyas. So I was really, really motivated. And then I went to this interview with two German women, and the one was taking notes and the other one was asking questions. And then I was told that I could go back and I could come back the next day and they would tell me the results. And then I came back and then I was told that I was allowed to take sannyas. And of course, it's a horrible story in one way, but it was also really like I felt I really had to feel the decision to my inner core. Is this really something I want? Because so many things were so complicated around it. And I was fighting in a way for my taking sannyas. So that was how I made Usha and how I took sannyas. Yeah.
Wow, that's quite interesting. And it's the first time I hear about the fact that you couldn't just take sannyas and you were asked to travel all the way to the USA, to Oregon, and you could even be refused sannyas.
This is yes, exactly. Yeah. And yeah, that was that. I also don't know other people who had that experience, but I know it's true. And I know there's some other people out there who also have, I know they also share this experience. Yeah. I think it was a very short period of time. It was like that. Yeah.
Okay. Yeah. So perhaps just for the friends who are not familiar with all the stories and of Osho and the sannyas movement, this is a specific time in 1985, towards the end, I would guess, of Oregon and the experiment of the commune in the USA. Normally, everyone was very much welcome to take sannyas and it was quite straightforward. But at that time, for some reasons, was very complicated.
Yeah, yeah.
Okay, so perhaps it would be interesting to hear the first time you saw Osho in person.
Yeah. And that was the same. I was there for 3 weeks, and I still think that was the three most intense week in my life. Those 3 weeks I spent there, I still remember every day as if it was yesterday. But first time I met Osho, we were in a huge hall, and we were maybe like 12,000. And of course, it was very strong to see him, but he was very far away, and everything was a little overwhelming. So it was more that I was happy to see him, but not that exactly that meeting left a special impact. But what was very, very intense for me was there was this drive-by where he was driving in his Rolls Royce, and we were all standing in a line, and he was passing us. And he had, for a short moment, eye contact with I think, all of us. And I didn't expect anything. I didn't know what to expect or how it would be. And that moment when I looked in his eyes, it was like really like falling into him. There was nothing that stopped. And I never thought about that before. But normally when I look into people's eyes, and probably also when they look in my eyes, there's a place where it stops, where there's probably the personality coming. But it was just like falling in, and I could really see there was nobody in there. And this was so strong for me. And I didn't know much about all this with nobody and who's in. That was totally new. And every moment I have had any doubt about does enlightenment exist and is he more enlightened than us? Whatever thoughts could come up during the years, whenever I remember that moment, I feel so touched. And that has been, I think, I had never doubted being a sannyasin since I got my name at that time. And I think that was the main reason, this short moment to really, really be allowed to see in him. Yeah. And I'm so grateful that I had that opportunity, and I never had it again. That was the only time. I mean, I think some other people have been close to Osho in person, but I never had that opportunity. But this was exactly my big gift and what has been carrying me a lot since then.
Wow, just one look of Osho, all it took.
Yeah.
I remember, it's so powerful.
Yeah.
Beautiful, beautiful. Well, in a way, even though Osho is no more in the body and there are pictures and videos that, of course, are not the same as seeing him live, but I feel that there is a huge impact that even through videos and pictures and words that people can read in the books or hear through his voice in the audio recordings, they still carry something extremely powerful. I mean, at least for me, like I haven't seen, but I can relate to that feeling of, I don't know what is enlightenment, but if I see Osho, I see that something happened to this man. I mean, and something really inside of me, it's awoken.
Yeah, and I can see also that new people who are coming to Osho Risk, they maybe they get the same experience as I had with looking in his eyes. Many people fall in love with him, want to take sannyas, and so it's still, he's still touching, even he's not there in his body anymore, because I was kind of curious, how will that be? And sometimes I feel I was just lucky to be, when he was still in his body, but other people are lucky to feel what he is now. And I don't want to compare it and say this is better than the other, but it's for sure clear what you say, that through his words, through reading his books, through seeing him on pictures, through feeling the vibe around him, leaves a big impact on people also today.
Beautiful. Yeah. And I want to discuss a little bit more in details this aspect of new people coming, because you live in Osho Risk and you see lots of people and for many, many years. But I want to also know about how you got involved in Osho Risk. Of course, you mentioned that you were in Denmark, you went to the USA and then you went back. So of course, Osho Risk is in Denmark. So, but I'd love to hear the story of how you got into Osho Risk and how you became one of the coordinators. And then I want to go deeper into understanding how Osho Risk managed to survive in a way throughout all these years, very changing times.
Yeah, it's also a very, very interesting story how I came to Osho Risk, I think, how I came to live there, because me and Zatmaga, we went on a bicycle trip from Copenhagen to Jutland, where Osho Risk is placed. We wanted to see the place and we wanted to join a summer festival. We came there and the summer festival was cancelled. It was a very new place at that time, and everything was different. I mean, then you could not have imagined anything. But the interesting was that, like, I fell in love with being with Osho's people when I was in my first group. I just knew, wow, I would like to stay here. We would like to stay here. And then I had a dream. I dreamt that I bought a house, and then I told that the table at the morning, the breakfast next day, that I had this dream and I described the house. And then one of the people who were already there, he said, but that's a house up in Treden who's for sale. And that's there was a house for sale 2 kilometers from where we lived, or from where Risk was placed. So we went up on our bicycles to look at this house. And then we bought that house, me and Zatmaga together with, we borrowed some money in the local bank that was possible at that time. And 3 weeks later, we were biking home, quitting our job, stopping all what we had in Copenhagen. And so 2 months later, we were both back to Osho Risk. It was just so strong to be in a commune. And my friends, they said, many of my friends, yeah, you will be back in Copenhagen after 1 year. You are a city girl. And I also think if somebody had told that I would be here still after 36 years, I maybe wouldn't have believed it. And that Risk, but we didn't think like that. We just moved there. Yeah.
Wow. So that's been 35 years plus that you live in the countryside, you live in a commune, meaning you live with other people most of the time.
which is not easy. And you've been involved in all sorts of activities related to Osho. Osho Risk offers daily Osho meditations, groups, and all sorts of other beautiful festivals and groups, etc., and therapy groups, and many other things and programs. And of course, I will link Osho Risk website to the show notes, so everyone interested in knowing more what happens to at Osho Risk. And also, I'd love to remind everyone that we had an interview, one of the first, I think it was the 8th interview of the Love Osho podcast, with one of the historical coordinator of Osho Risk. The audio of that episode is not great, unfortunately. They were still at the beginning of our journey.
Okay, yeah.
Mm. But it's a beautiful interview. So in all these years, you have been so many people coming and going. And despite the fact that so many things have changed in our life in the past 35 years, and especially since you took sannyas, without even mentioning the fact that Osho, of course, is not physically present. He left in 1990, so it's over 30 years ago that he left the body. But despite all of that, even today, new people keep coming to Osho Risk and keep falling in love with Osho, as we discussed earlier briefly. What are you seeing happening? What do you make of it, of all this renewed and continuous attraction for Osho even today?
I would say that Osho is timeless. I mean, of course, sometimes when I listen to his discourses, I can hear that some of his examples are maybe a little old. And it seems like the message, the core, is timeless. It hits a longing in so many people for being themselves. And it's very interesting to see that when I was young, when we came, I mean, I'm 66 now, then this to be myself was a lot about breaking free and breaking loose, and all the groups are very strong, and we had a lot of catharsis, and because that was the way of being oneself that time, to break out of this kind of condition most of us had about that was very repressed. And I can see nowadays that the young people coming, they are more soft. I mean, they love to do dynamic, most of them, but they don't need it in the same way as we did. So for them to be themselves is something else, is maybe the sharing quality, also the actual meditation. And maybe they're a little more directly seekers, if you can say it like that, than we were. I think there was a lot of emotional release in my generation, and that was the focus in the beginning. But many people coming now are more interested in meditation and finding themselves, and what is the ego, and how can I come around that, and this kind of questions. And it seems like no matter what generation you are born in, there's always something in Osho's teaching that reaches you. And maybe there'll be another generation after here where we don't even know what it is they will be seeking, but I'm sure there'll be something in what he is saying that is still of interest and still touching. So I think it's this timelessness. And then, of course, also what I often hear from people coming to Osho Risk is that here you can be yourself. Here's a place where you can be yourself. Of course, it's also a lot about, I mean, for Osho, for me, Osho is very much related with the heart, being in the heart, and love. And so it's also like, I think I can say that in general, Osho Risk is a loving place. And I think most Osho centers are very loving places where people experience that they maybe receive some more love than they actually normally do, and they get touched by that. So that's probably also one of the things that is timeless, and that that people kind of experience as something very special. Yeah. I mean, it doesn't mean that we don't have, we also have conflicts and stuff going on, and discussions and things we are. So of course, it's not that we just always go around and with a big open heart, but maybe we go around with a big open heart, but then also a lot of other things are happening in that field. Just to say that it's also, I feel it's a very alive place where a lot of things are moving in many ways. Yeah.
Wonderful. Look, I mentioned this to Sudas when I had the interview with him, because I visited Shorisk, and definitely one of the most noticeable things for me that touched me is this feeling of love and harmony within the commune, which is an indication to me that the people who live there are in harmony. And that doesn't mean that you guys don't have your conflicts and fights, and that's human, but overall there is an energy of peace and love and harmony, and that reverberates to all the guests that come. So, and it's true that it's in general in Osho places, it's normally the vibe is different because people meditate. So of course it's a higher energy, higher vibration, but in Osho Risk, and I'm not saying this to you to please you and just because, you know, I want to praise Osho Risk, but it's the reality, it's my experience. There was a particular quality that I noticed, which I think is down to the harmony within the people who live there. So yeah, I want to reinforce that. But I was really interested to hear the way you were describing the different things that people look for or seek when they come to Osho Risk, and the comparison between the generation, your generation and later generations and nowadays. So you mentioned that before people were more interested, or perhaps they needed more catharsis, and the emphasis was a lot on emotional release. We all know about the famous encounter groups. Dynamic meditation, but dynamic meditation was just a part of it. There was so much more going on there. It's a lot of catharsis, a lot of confrontation and emotional release, because also those were the times just after the Second World War, really. You know, it was a time where your generation, your parents were involved probably in the Second World War. And nowadays, obviously, that now 70 years ago, and at least in Europe and in most of the world, is a much more peaceful place to live. So perhaps it's true that we need less of that expression and I don't know how to put it. I mean, you said it very beautifully, but for me, that's very poignant. That's very interesting to hear and to understand what people today need and look for compared to before. So is there anything else that you want to add or you noticed?
I mean, I think there's still a need of body work. We always have groups with body work because even people are more soft today than, of course, there's a lot of maybe not really being able to feel what's going on in the body, but the body work is just more soft than it was earlier. And what was your question again?
If you have anything to add about the difference in what people were looking for at the time when you were a sannyasin and you were young and today.
Yeah, at my time, it was very clear that this was a very different life on the outer scale to come to a commune and to live like that. And now I can see young people who come, they are not so, I don't know if we can say impressed about that, but they are kind of more used to kind of different lifestyles. And so that's not what's, but they are, many of them are interested in hearing older sannyasins telling about their journey. It's like, I feel there's an interest in, you can call it, enlightenment, in being free, coming home to yourself. I mean, like a really seeking, not just feeling better or getting a better life or being able to manage your boyfriend or something, but to maybe find, to come home in oneself. And maybe there's, of course, also a lot of more, there's a lot of people, enlightened people around, that so many people hear more about that, when there was not so many enlightened people around when I met Osho, at least not that I heard about. But then it's still also like, this is a different flavor here. But I think people are more, young people nowadays are more interested in coming home directly in a way. And I'm often impressed about the dedication to meditation. I mean, we had some years, we have a working program for people who can come, and young people can come and work, and they can stay for free if they work 4 hours a day. And some years ago, we had to tell them that if they were in this program, they needed to do at least 2 meditations a day, because it was, I don't know if I can say it was normal, but often people, they when they come, they stop, meditate, and we're having a cozy time instead, which of course, I mean, but that was not what we wanted to offer. So we had that kind of little rule, and we still have that. But nowadays, people, they meditate by themselves. I mean, I don't feel we need to emphasize, I cannot say never or something, but people are more naturally interested in coming and listening to Osho, and especially also the evening meditation is for many of the young ones and new ones interesting.
Yes, that's interesting. So it makes me think that perhaps some part of the attraction to the sannyas world before was also that it was something rebellious. It was something really to break away from conventions. Whereas nowadays, of course, there is still the element of rebellion, but it's more really interest in meditation, and not necessarily people are going to completely change their life, leave the job, move to another country. They can keep alive, but they still want to, you know, listen to Osho, meditate, and do their experiences in Osho Risk.
Yeah. And at the same time, we actually have a wave right now, and I don't know if it's just like that can change again, but we have a wave of people who now would like to stay when they come, and it has been like you said, like then people would go back and live their life as not as before, but with maybe a new kind of insight. But now we have a lot of people who ask, can we stay here? Who actually would like to stay. And I don't know if how much that has been connected with the lockdown situations we have had. And I can say that it's not that everybody's interested right now to go back and live their life as before. So this is interesting also to see, will that be the next, and how do we deal with that? Yeah.
Yeah. So this leads me also to the next question. I wanted to know, how do you personally, as a sannyasin and also as a commune as a whole, how do you stay relevant to such changing times? You know, because now things are changing at a much faster pace compared to before.
Yeah, that's we try to keep up with that, and it's not always so easy for. We are a group of older people like me, at least that's what we are called there, and then we have a lot of totally young people, and we are looking for a little like a group of middle. Somebody who is more in the middle, who can come and carry the place on, and who are maybe more open for what it is that's going on now. We have, for example, right now, we have we have something around men and women, very much inspired of the Me Too movement, where there's maybe a little like old-fashioned style in the normal sannyas communities, and where we face that we have new times now. We have faced that before also, but we face that we have new times now, and where women, something that happened some years ago, are not okay for women anymore. And we have to find a way to deal with that. That is kind of, if you ask me today, I don't know where we will go with it, but we are in an open process around it right now. And this is, we have when things like this is appearing, we try to investigate as much as we can, and then we try not to be too fast, but to wait a little and see where things are moving and what will be the right movements. Are there any decisions that need to be taken, or is it more higher awareness? So maybe that's how we in general try to solve situations. Like we have what we call an overview team. That is a kind of leading team, you could say. And we try to pick up what's happening in the commune, and then we talk about it and we sit with it, and we sometimes also invite to bigger meetings about it so we can find out if are there any changes that needs to happen now, or is it more, okay, we continue, but we have a new level of awareness on it.
I love it. And also, I feel like it's not easy for people normally when they age, they tend to, that's it, generally speaking, of course, they tend to be fixated with their own ideas and ways and habits. But you as sannyasin, as a commune in Osho Risk, what I'm hearing is that you pick up what's happening and then you discuss and you try to really have an open mind and be ready for a change. And that's laudable.
Yeah. And also I can see that me as this older person, it's not always easy to really understand. And that's why I think it's very important we get a group of younger people also really into the middle, in the core of running the place. Yeah.
Yeah, definitely. Even for me, sometimes it's hard to understand what's happening.
Okay, I'm happy to. I thought you could be one of those younger ones coming. It's like,
oh, well, if you talk to those who are 20, they're already so far ahead and so much faster in the way of thinking. So I'm already old in that way.
Yeah.
But then, of course, the advantage is that at 40, you have a little bit more maturity compared to the 20. So it's, I think it's good. The approach you're taking is good. You need to bring someone that is younger, but also that has a little bit of life experience.
Yeah.
Okay, beautiful. So blunt question, what did you learn from Osho that helps you in your life and work today?
Yeah, that's a big question. I learned that I'm not perfect. I just faced that today, to be able to admit that I do mistakes and I do my best, but I'm not perfect. And I think that's a special quality among sannyasins, this ability not to take oneself too serious. But I of course have to look at that again and again in my life. But this is a big relaxation for me to know that I don't have a master that asks me to be perfect. Then I have learned also, more to relax. And it's not that I can say that my life has been easier. When I was young, I thought that the older and wiser I would be, the more easy things would be. But I actually feel myself more open and vulnerable than when I was younger. And that doesn't make life easier, but it's not that I can say it's wrong or something, but it's just I have found a way to stay with it. But so my life is more full, and there's always something to question, there's always something to investigate in myself. It's and I have dropped the idea that it will ever stop. I know it will continue. So this kind of acceptance that that it continues, that is not that I come to an end station where, okay, now I can relax for 20 years. It's so there's a lot of acceptance, I think, is also a big word. And it can sound, of course, just like a word, but it's I can feel it like there's a kind of acceptance. Okay, this is what life is presenting for me right now. Yeah.
And what's the biggest challenge you experience as a sannyasin?
That's, I don't know if it's so much now, but it has been a lot to be so different. Sometimes I'm asking myself, why didn't I choose a master that was much more accepted? I mean, for example, also when Wild Wild Country came out, where I can understand people's reactions, why do you have this master? I mean, how can you do that? And so I think this has been a big challenge to be part of running a place that's totally crazy in a way. I mean, sometimes I cannot even explain why we do things, and because I can see that my words will not make any sense. I mean, it makes kind of sense for me, but this to have such a master who's so different, that I think that's a, but I think it's an interesting challenge. And also for me, who always wanted to be a nice girl when I was smaller, I thought, okay, I could have became a Buddhist instead. That would have been much more accepted or something like that. But no, I had to choose Osho. And I think that's a very interesting challenge that I'm probably not alone about that. But this that to have a master who's so crazy in a way. Yeah.
Absolutely. And of course, my personal experience is not comparable to yours, because you leave those events. But even today, some people, when you say Osho, it's not so much anymore, but still you get those questions related to what happened in Rajneeshpuram and brought to light again through Wild Wild Country. And I have no answers. I mean, I don't know. So, and it's hard to explain that for me, Osho is a love affair, and I got so much out of meditating and reading Osho and being with sannyasins, and my life has flowered and flourished. But there are some things that I can't explain and I can't argue with. And there have been some crazy shit that really happened for real.
Yeah.
Okay, Angie, so we are kind of heading towards the end of the interview. Is there anything else you would like to add before we talk about latest projects, if you have? And then I have three final questions that I ask all the guests on the show.
Okay, I'm curious. No, I just felt when you said meditation that, of course, meditation is also one of the huge gifts. I mean, but I didn't even think about mentioning it. It's also true. Also, I was learning to meditate. Yeah. I'm not a very, I'm more like a therapy person, but I really started to appreciate meditation. But that has taken me many years, and I'm so happy to have been living in a commune where there was always people who I could meditate with. Yeah. So it was not a lonely affair.
Beautiful, beautiful. And I love what you just said now, because meditation nowadays is very a buzzword. Many people make it sound as if it's something very easy to do. You sit down and you just close your eyes and blah, 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 you know, a few minutes a day. And of course, yeah, even a few minutes are helpful, better than nothing. But if you talk to real sincere seekers or people who really try to meditate, sometimes depending on the person, but it may take years and years and years of practice to start even appreciating what meditation is. I myself think I'm starting to meditate now after 20 years.
yeah Welcome in the club.
Okay, so I've got three final questions. The first one is, Osho's greatest contribution to the world, in your view?
I mean, that he shared himself so much. He never stopped. He shared and he poured out of himself. And I feel so great. He could have been sitting alone with all this, but he chose to share all this with us. And I think that is such a big gift for all of us. Yeah.
Wonderful. So the second question is, what is the most beautiful gift you personally received from Osho?
I mean, I would say a new life. I mean, my life changed when I took sannyas, and it has never been the same again. And I got a new life. Mm-hmm. Yeah. And that's a big gift. It's a big gift. It's difficult to point out but because it's so all in one. So I could say some events that has been important for me, but a new life, I would say the new name and a new life. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Beautiful. Okay. So the last question is, you leave the Osho experiment. You were with Osho and you met Osho in the body. You looked at Osho's eyes. What does it mean to you to be with Osho today?
It's a little different than at that time, because for many, many years he was this man I looked in the eyes, and then he was the man who talked at the videos. And I realized at a certain point that I was getting a little less touched when I saw him on the screen or on the video. So, and I got a little nervous about that, if I was getting cold or less not such an interested sannyasin or whatever you can call it. But I realized at a certain point, and I think he even talked about it when I was sitting in that he's getting more integrated in me. So he's less somebody outside me. He's more something in me. And I can still have moments where I suddenly, when I see him, I can get very touched when I see a picture. But most of the time, it feels more like he's in me, and that's different. So from being like a father or God or whatever, I saw him in the beginning, and then to be my guru and my master and meditation teacher, whatever he has been, and then it was like he was coming closer and feeling more that he is in me.
Well, Angie, look, this is so beautiful, and I thank you so much. I really enjoyed connecting with you and talking to you. I really felt like I've been talking to someone so honest, so sincere, so authentic, so answering the question in the present without, you know, trying to kind of create a story. And I really appreciate that you really opened up.
Thank you.
And in your heart and your truth as a human being, as a person, as a seeker on the path. And then, of course, it's always beautiful to remind everyone about Osho Risk, which is one of my favorite places, Osho places in the world. And it has, of course, great food, great environment, beautiful programs, but most of all, the people and the energy and the environment is so healthy, it's so beautiful. So I cannot recommend enough to go to Osho Risk and have an experience.
Thank you so much. Yeah. And I hope you will come soon. I remember when you were here. Yeah. Yeah.
Yes. Yes. Last time it was in the winter time. So perhaps next time I can have a try during the summertime.
Yeah. Yeah.
Okay, Angie. Thank you so much for being
part of thank you.
The podcast. Mm. Lots of love and a big hug. Bye. Bye-bye now.
Bye-bye.
Thank you for listening. If you enjoyed this episode, please share it and leave a review. Visit loveosho.com for more episodes, blogs, or to connect with us.